Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
This podcast will definitely contain naughty words and spoilers.
Hello and welcome back to everyone who's joined us on the previous podcast, and hello to any new listeners. My name's Hayley and this podcast is Hayley Watches. So Colin picks films I've never seen before and I make a sort of review on them. Before I start though, I just wanted to just apologise for the sound quality on the last podcast. I guess we could say that was like kind of artistic, as in it was a film about a quiet place and it was a quiet podcast.
Except for me.
Except for you.
In odd moments, being very loud.
I like my cackling laugh.
Yeah.
So hopefully we've rectified that, but I think being quite new to this, we're going to have a few little teething problems, aren't we? But
speed bumps in the road.
Yeah, so if you come back to join us for this one, then cheers. So, so the film that Colin chose at the end of the last podcast was 1917.
Your favourite genre, you love a war film, don't you? Big yeah. Fan.
I hate them. I will just put this out here now. I think we watched this a few days ago, didn't we?
Yeah, about 4 or 5 days ago
now. I think I have vaguely just sort of forgiven him for making me watch it. I did feel actual trauma. And I think it's because he led me into this, like, false sense of security. Because you said, it's not like a war film I was expecting to watch. So I thought, oh, well, maybe he thought it would be like Saving Private Ryan or something. So I think I went in with this false sense of security. And actually, it was exactly the sort of war film.
Yeah, what I meant is it's not like a standard war film with big action scenes and hundreds of people being mowed down by machine guns and things like that, which turns out is not what you expect from a war film at all.
No, so you shook my trust there a little bit. It's gaining it back, don't worry.
Slowly.
But so I think I do actually remember seeing the trailer for this film and the big nope sign came up. And I should have really trusted my instinct and should have guessed it wasn't going to be exactly what I thought it was going to be. So I think my dislike for war films is I haven't got much of an interest in that kind of a genre. It traumatised me as a child learning about it. And the films I've actually seen that are war films is Saving Private Ryan, this one now, Hacksaw Ridge and Black Hawk Down. I fucking hated every single one of them.
They're all very different war films, though. Like, yeah. Saving Private Ryan is the essential war film of our generation, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
Everyone's got to see it because it doesn't glorify it or anything. It's brutal.
Yeah.
Start to finish. Hacksaw Ridge is a great film.
It was the ending for me with the...
The actual bloke on the ending.
Man.
What a man.
No.
Black Hawk Down is your...
I only watched it for Orlando Bloom.
Who literally is barely in it.
He fell out bloody...
Falls out of a helicopter right at the beginning, doesn't he?
He falls out... Yeah. Chinook, innit?
Tom Hardy's in it.
Is he?
Yeah. Didn't realise it because he wasn't famous at the time, but he's in it.
Oh, man. It's Tom Hardy.
Let's go back and watch it again.
No. Just no. Me and my friend Kate were well traumatised watching that. Anyways, back to the film that I'm actually supposed to be reviewing. Colin looked up a little thing for me because we didn't watch it on Netflix this time. Sorry, Netflix.
The first one, yeah. Well, they haven't sent through the sponsor money, I don't feel bad
for them. No, and I think also as well, we only rented it for 2 days, so thank God those 2 days are up.
Can't make you watch it again.
Oh, shame. So the description is, on April the 6th, 1917, as a regiment assembles to wage war deep in enemy territory, I'll put my tongue back in again, two soldiers are assigned to race against time and deliver a message that will stop 1,600 men from walking straight into a deadly trap. Bum, bum,
bum. Setting the tone there nicely.
Thank you. So,
I meant the thing, not you.
Yeah, it does, yeah. I should have known straight away.
Oh, you didn't read it till after, did you?
No, I couldn't bring myself to do it because you were reading out to me and I couldn't write it down quick enough. So it has the first two main characters that you see are Lance Corporal William Schofield.
He's the ginger one.
Yeah. Whose actor is George McKay. I had to look up their ages to see if they fit, because when I read up on a bit, they're supposed to be like, so Schofield should be in his like mid-20s, which he is, he's 28, the actor, from Landon.
From Landon.
And then the second character is Lance Corporal Tom Blake, and that actor is Dean Charles Chapman, he's 22, from Romford.
Oh, no.
In my hometown.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, loving life. So his character's supposed to be like 19, so he's young. This guy looks quite young anyway. So before we kick off, I have absolutely no idea about army ranks at all. We're like British.
No, not a clue.
So I've heard Lance Corporal. I'm like, well, is that high? Is that quite low?
It definitely, you knew it couldn't be high because otherwise it wouldn't have been sent on what they were sent.
So just for you listeners, it's probably something like you hitting your head against a brick wall, like, I totally know this. But I went on the British Army website and looked up what each thing is.
Right.
So officer ranks, starting at the top, is Field Marshal, then it's General. Right, now the next one, if you're British, it's Lieutenant. If you're American, it's Lieutenant.
But only in the Army.
Only in the Army, because the Navy's got something else. British Navy's different.
Yeah, is it the Navy or the RAF? One of them still says Lieutenant, I think.
I don't know. Get in
touch.
Sure,
I read that.
But we're British, so we're going with Lieutenant. So it's General, then it's Lieutenant General, then it's Major General, Brigadier?
Brigadier, yeah.
Colonel, and then Lieutenant Colonel, Major, Captain, Second Lieutenant, and Officer Cadet, which is the highest rank you can be in training.
Right.
And then there's a Soldier rank. I didn't know that.
Yeah, you get officers and soldiers.
Yeah. So then the officer ranks, so the highest you can be is a warrant officer class 1, then warrant officer class 2, then staff sergeant, sergeant, corporal, lance corporal, and then a private.
Oh, lance corporal's below corporal?
Yeah.
Are they both lance corporals?
Yeah.
Because there's a bit in the film where someone else calls one of them corporal instead of lance corporal.
Oh, is there? No, I just thought they were both lance corporals.
I don't know. I'm asking you. You looked it up.
That's, I don't know. They just...
They obviously just say it for shorthand.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. You think if you got an extra bit in front of it, that'd be higher, wouldn't you?
That's what I thought. No, they're just... I don't know whether private is bottom like of the ladder. You are, like when you've just done your training.
Yeah.
So anyways, it opens up with the 6th of April 1917, and you see two soldiers asleep. And it looks quite untouched, really. It looks quite nice. So you think, oh, are they dead or are they alive?
Just chilling in a field.
Yep, just laying there.
Well, and you thought they might be dead. Yeah, I think anyone else watching it would know they're not dead and just asleep. This is a short film. Opens up. Then, these are your two main characters. They're dead. Bye.
Bye, tree. End of. I'm like, oh, what a film. Then they get woken up by Sergeant Sanders, who's played by Daniel Mays. So he appears and asks Lance Corporal Blake to pick a man to follow him.
Yeah. How pissed off would you be?
So he taps his little mate, Schofield.
Wake up, you're with me. What are we doing? I don't know.
I mean, obviously this is why I'm not in the army. I'd be like, mate, jog on, find out what he wants to do and then come back to me. And if it's nice, I will 100% have your back. If it's something ridiculous.
If there's a hot dinner and a coffee in it, I'm there. If it's trudging through shit, I'm not coming.
I'm not coming, no. I'd be like laying there, a little bit of like Mean Girls. Sick.
What a different film that would be. You're coming with me. I'm sick. Boo, you whore. There's an idea for Mean Girls 2 or 3.
3, yeah.
Yeah, we don't count Lance the real Corporal. Number 2.
So they're walking off. Obviously, Schofield is quite obliging and follows along, and they're asking if they're going to feed them.
No,
but
yeah.
It's not, it's just post. So I think at that point I literally had a little tear.
Straight away. It's about a minute and a half in, isn't it?
Oh, God.
Oh, they want food.
They just want his food. I just got a fucking letter. And then he says, oh, Schofield, have you got a letter? And he hasn't. So you're like, oh, interesting. And apparently all their leave's been cancelled. So straight away you sort of see how this film's going to be shot because it's on that, what is it?
A shot as one continuous take with no cuts.
And the way the camera moves is awesome. Like, the way it moves through the people and people, it just look, you feel like you're actually another soldier, don't you?
Yeah,
really?
You just get people walking across the front of the camera. And there's so many bits every now and then where you watch and if you pay attention, think, well, normally you'd cut that bit out.
Yeah.
That'd be cut out. That'd be cut out. Like, we wouldn't see any of this. No. We'd be straight there. But no, we follow them everywhere.
So you've gone like kind of from this really calm, serene beginning that doesn't look very war-torn into basically straight into the trenches where it's busy and there's people and it's like starting to look a bit grim. I do think they glorified it a little bit. I think it probably been a lot worse than how it actually looked, but it looked pretty grim anyway.
Yeah, it didn't. Doesn't look pleasant.
No. So they're taken to see General Erin Moore, which is my man Firth.
Yeah.
Colin Firth.
Who you so excited to see, weren't you?
I was, yeah.
It swayed you a bit into watching this film, knowing he was in it.
Yeah.
And
Cumberbatch.
And him and Cumberbatch, yeah. And then crushing disappointment number one swiftly followed, didn't it? When his scene, the scene you're about to describe ends and you realise that's it.
Yeah, that's it. They've moved really quickly through the characters.
Yeah.
It's really interesting.
It's basically them, like, you're naming what the other characters' names are. I have no idea what any of their names were.
I had to literally research it because you just literally meet them done. It is so quick.
We just stick with the main two, don't we?
Yeah. So he says basically that the German front that they're fighting over no man's land have moved and they've got these aerial footage to show that they're not there anymore and that this has been a long day today. Sorry, my brain's not working. A regiment run by Colonel Mackenzie, are following the German soldiers thinking he's got them on the run. Actually he hasn't. They're running into a massive trap.
He thinks they're retreating from the advance and he wants to chase them and finish him off.
Yeah. So
and it's a strategic retreat. Yeah. They're falling back to set a trap.
Trap up. And this, obviously Mackenzie's got the scent of a fight and he's like, we're winning. I think in that situation, he probably would think, fuck yes, we could be coming to an end here. But he's got 1,600 men who will lose their lives, including Blake's brother.
Dun, dun, dun.
Fuck!
Hence the reason they've picked him.
Because he's got an invested interest in getting there.
He's not going to stop. He's going to get there because otherwise his brother's going to be dead.
Dawn. So he's got to get there before dawn. You have no idea what time it is.
No.
So you don't know if he's got 24 hours, if he's got 12 hours.
We know it's daytime, so he's got a maximum of 24 hours, isn't he? But probably less.
So he's also been told that the Germans have cut the phone lines down, hence why he needs Blake and Schofield to deliver this message before dawn. They ask, I can't remember if it's Blake or if it's Schofield, ask why they're just sending the two of them. And I had to write this down because I really liked this little thing that he said. So Colonel Erin Moore says, down Genna, I think it's how he pronounced it, it's down Genna or up the throne, he travels the fastest who travels alone.
Mm. At which point, if it was me, I said, listen, mate, I don't give a fuck about poetry. Why is there only two of us going?
So,
but he's got his point is proven very quickly moving forward as to why less is better.
So obviously that's the thing. Great, off you go. Schofield's trying to slow down Blake and say, come on, it's light, we need to slow down. He's like, no, it's my brother. You get the kind of gist. They start mentioning medals that Schofield had won.
And Schofield has a medal, yeah.
But he hasn't got it. And Blake seems to have a bit of an invested interest in getting a medal.
Yeah. I can't remember if they say why. Schofield's been over the trenches.
Yeah.
And he's got a medal for that, but I don't remember if there's more detail as to how he got it.
No, not how he got it, just how he got rid of it, really.
Yeah.
So they start, this is when you start getting onto the frontline trenches. The whole atmosphere changes and everyone's a lot more like grouchy and angry and there's almost
everything's a bit dirtier.
Everyone's so depressed.
More wounded.
Yeah.
Everyone's more tired, hungrier.
And a lot of people like walking, like, be careful where you're walking there, there's dead. Be careful where you walk there, that's a sergeant or whatever it was. Like, just be careful where you step. You're stepping on the dead. And you think, that is so grim. They have to basically take another message to the next person that you meet quite quickly, who I think was probably one of my favourite characters. He was absolutely class. He kind of made me think a bit about Darling. Do you know in, like, Blackadder? The fourth? Is it the fourth? There's Captain Darling. And like, I think it's like, he kind of went into the army, kind of hoping for this particular thing, and it was like nothing like he expected. He's obviously quite a well-to-do gentleman.
Which one was Captain Darling?
The one who...
Is it Hugh Laurie or Stephen Fry?
The one who worked with... No, I can't remember who the...
Or was it... Oh, was he Percy in the earlier Blackadder?
Yeah, him.
Can't remember his name, but...
So yeah, so he has to give his message to Lieutenant Leslie, who's played by Adam Scott, and he's absolutely hilarious. He's like laying inside this little dugout thing, isn't he? He's like shouting at this one little young soldier that he's absolutely waste of space and useless. And he gives him a letter, so he's got to go over the top to get over into no man's land. And he's saying like, well, you know, I think these directions you've been given are wrong. I've lost men recently. The Germans are definitely there.
Yeah, they had a firefight like 2 nights before. Men died.
Yeah.
What? And they've had this fight and then they've buggered off basically.
Yeah, so he just doesn't buy it.
And
again, it's like that kind of get that feeling that it happens quite a lot during the war where you'd have one set of instructions and all of a sudden the next set of instructions come along and you think how much of this is real and how much of this is just utter bullshit.
Yep.
So you can see he's like really had enough of it, but it's really well to do. Anyways, he says, if you're going over there, then you can take these flare guns. And he says, I hate losing flare guns to the Huns. Throw them back when they start shooting at them.
If you get shot, do us a favour and throw it back. Brilliant.
And he's just like, effing and jeffing. He was just absolutely amazing.
Effing and jeffing.
Effing and jeffing. But no, I loved him.
He was so cool.
Thanks. But again, it's like you got, it's just that, I think that's what I found personally with all the characters, is they really portrayed well, like how each person was probably feeling at the time.
Yeah, he's been fighting right at the front the whole time. And he's, one of the first things he says is, you are relief, isn't he? Like they want, it's overdue that he wants to get away from there for a bit.
Yeah.
But no dice, not happening.
So this is the next bit you see is them making their way up the trench.
Going over
into no man's land. I was shitting a brick and you were saying, like, babe, this film has literally just started.
It's supposed to be a tense moment and things. Sort of takes away from the fact these are our main characters. They've got a mission. If they go over here and both get shot, it's not a very good film. So they're obviously going to make it through this bit at least.
So they've got like, loads of craters and there's like dead horse bodies and, I mean, you can imagine what the smell is like. There's not actually, there's a few little bodies around, but there's not lots and lots, is there?
I don't know, there's quite a lot, but it's not...
You don't see blood or gore?
No, there's no... You don't see much blood in the whole film.
No. And it's at this point I noticed actually how beautiful the music was. So you've got, like, the amazing camera shot of them making their way through...
Yeah, it's still the one continuous take where there's been no... No fade to black, no cuts.
The way it moves, at the level it's at, it's always at their level. So you literally feel like you're going through the whole journey with them.
Except it doesn't shake, is the only difference, isn't it? It's a still camera.
Yeah. So they're getting through the barbed wire and Schofield cuts his hand.
Yep.
Ugh. Grim.
Bad time.
They end up going down to a crater and his hand goes straight into the corpse of a German soldier. I was like,
the one he's just cut open. Yeah, puts it straight through his chest, doesn't he?
I didn't have high hopes of Schofield at this point. I was like, legit, if anyone's going to go, it's probably going to be him.
You're like, how has he got a fucking medal?
Yeah.
He cut himself on the first bit of barbed wire.
Jesus. And there's a bit that you really like, which is when they get into this massive crater, isn't there?
Yeah, I think it's the best shot of the whole film. Yeah. They go down in this massive crater and there's a puddle at the bottom of the crater and they go round the side and the camera goes across the middle of the crater over the puddle. I just think it's shows how well the one shot works because you don't see a reflection of the camera in the water. There's no ripple in the water. It just leaves them one side, watches them go around, meets them the other side.
Yeah.
And that's where you can see like that shot in itself just makes the whole film being the one take, like show how brilliant it is that they've done it. Highlights just how amazing it is what they're doing with this film.
So good. So they finally get over, which is possibly like the tensest, I don't know, 5 minutes?
Yeah, who knows?
I don't even know.
Every bit of this film feels like it goes on forever. And it's about 30 seconds.
And they get over the German front line, they jump in, and there's nobody there.
They have gone. They have actually gone. It's
like,
true.
They kick over like a bucket and it has some smoke. So Schofield's
like charcoal.
He said, I don't think they've been long gone. So you're like, mate, they could literally at any minute come like.
Just spring out.
Diving out. So at this point, I think they kind of got their breath back and then you get to get a bit more of an understanding of their relationship, don't you? Like, as like a twosome. And he, And Blake asks Schofield how his hand is. And he's like, oh, you know. Whatever. And he says, oh, don't worry, you'll be wanking again in no time. And then Scope was like, wrong hand.
Let's. I've just put my hand in a corpse, but sure, let's make jokes about wanking. Is there anything more British than a good old wank joke?
So they're having a little look around and Blake goes one way and Scope was like, no go. Not good. So they go another way and they find like some bunk quarters, don't they? With lots of bunk beds with some stuff hanging down, which I think is to deter the rats from eating the German soldiers because they're like massive rats, aren't they?
They are big rats, yeah.
Absolutely vile. And they see this tunnel that's going somewhere and then Schofield notices a tripwire.
Does, spots it. Freeze, like, don't move.
Don't move. And I was like, motherfuckers. And then, of course, the bastard rat.
Bastard rat.
Trips the whole thing and there's a massive explosion. And obviously Schofield's like right by the tunnel entrance. Like, I knew it.
That's it. He's gone already. Ginger one's dead.
Completely gone. I was like, oh, for God's sake.
But he's not.
He like pulls him up. And he drags him through this tunnel that's collapsing because it's all like shaking.
Yeah, he's got dust all in his face. You can't see.
Jesus. And then you see a bit of light and you think, oh my God, we don't know what we're going to run out into. Is this going to be the trap? But it's nothing. It's just a big open field. And then you see two planes fly over, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they've, in amongst all the German artillery and the shells and things like that. And they've destroyed their own guns
so as they left. This could actually be maybe, you know, he was right. Evan Moore was right. They've moved on. And you think, interesting. Where am I with my notes?
Trying to read your own hand, right? Okay. Back in the room.
Schofield says that he wished at this point that he'd pick someone else. And
says that he wishes Blake had picked someone else, doesn't he? Yeah.
I like 100% agree with him at this point. And then he said Blake just hoped it was something easy to do.
So he cut his hand open, put it in a dead body, nearly gets buried alive. And he's like, I really wish I wasn't here. Yeah.
So like there's again, just to try and lighten the mood, Blake says if he heard about one of the soldiers how he lost his ear.
Yeah, it's a good story.
About how his... the soldier's missus sent him over some special hair stuff, which smelled amazing, like treacle or something. So he just like chucked it all in his hair and he woke up to a rat gnawing off his ear. I was like, yeah.
But he mentions he's been telling everyone it's shrapnel.
Yeah, but it's not, basically. And because it wasn't washing off at all, like the rats just keep coming all over him, but leaving everyone else alone. And then that's when he says about Scopus, it's like he doesn't want to leave home. Oh my God, this bit really got me.
He
doesn't want to go home because he doesn't want to come back because he can't promise he's going to come back.
Yeah. So he doesn't want to go home because he dreads having to leave again, not knowing whether he'll come back or not. So he'd rather not go.
You don't know at this point in time who he has at home.
No, it doesn't tell you, does it?
He just gets all choked up and has a little cry, and I'm like, man, I can't even.
And then you have a little cry.
And I had a little cry, and it was just, I think I looked at you like, what have you made me do? You bastard. So then you see a farmhouse, and start talking about all the blossoms at the tree, and it turns out like Blake's describing how his mum has an orchard at home, and how he cut the tree, or the trees were like, multiply, you have more trees and these blossoms, and it's this really beautiful kind of scene as they're walking down this orchard, and they get to the bottom of the orchard and you see this big farmhouse, and of course they say, we should probably check that.
Yeah, why there's nothing to do with what you're doing, why you got to go walk around it?
So they start making their way down there. And I'm like, can I fast forward this bit, please? Because I just can't even.
No!
Can't even cope. And then you start seeing a dogfight in the sky.
Yeah. After they've checked the house and it's empty.
It's all clear. Ugh.
And also he's found.
Milk.
Milk in the barn. There's a bucket of milk, isn't there? Which led you to immediately go, well, if someone's milked a cow, they must be close by.
Yeah, especially if it was like kind of warm, like, I don't know. So you see this dogfight going on. I think it's two British planes against one German plane, isn't it?
Yeah.
So Schofield steps out from their cover and is like watching this dogfight. And then he goes, oh, I think they've hit the German plane. And you see the German plane landing. Oh, and then you see the German plane flying towards them in the barn. And I'm like,
yeah, it goes down. As it's going down, it's like behind a hill, isn't it? And then it comes over the hill, heading straight for the barn.
So, of course, it crashes. The German soldier's screaming. He's on fire. They run over and they pull him out. And there's two of them there. I don't even want to say this bit because it actually just... So
they pull the German out the fire, don't they? And Schofield says, I'll put him out of his misery.
Yeah.
And Blake says, no, he needs water. Go and get some water. So Schofield goes over, starts filling his helmet up in the water, and then he hears
a scream.
Scream and shouting, and he turns around, and what happens?
Oh, the German soldiers stabbed Blake in the stomach.
The utter bastard.
But you know, I said to you, I don't know, we're not supposed to feel this way. Obviously, I felt awful that Blake has been stabbed, but then also thought at the same time that German soldiers just crash landed. He doesn't know if they're going to torture and kill him. And I think in that moment of insanity, he didn't understand what was going on. Maybe he doesn't speak English and he just attacked. And as much as I dislike him for doing it, because I was quite invested in Blake, thinking Schofield was going to cop it first. But either way, I was heartbroken watching this little boy dying.
I 100% disagree. They pulled him out of a burning plane.
He didn't know if they were going to torture him.
Doesn't matter. He was going to burn to death.
I know, but he's still frightened. He's still human.
Yes, he's human. If someone pulls you out of a burning plane, you don't think, he just pulled me out of that burning plane. I was going to burn to death. Oh, no. I'll knife him in the stomach. That's the international thank you.
Yeah, but he doesn't know what's going to happen.
He knows he's not going to burn to death.
I know, but you don't know what else. He doesn't know that they're not the only two people there.
Doesn't matter.
I know, but I just feel like I can see things from both sides. I hate stuff like that. War really angers
bastard.
Me. And you don't know, like, how he just sees German English soldiers and think he's just going to die. And I don't know.
But if they hadn't been there, he was going to die anyway.
Yeah, but
he was dead.
I know.
He was dead regardless.
But when you read the script, so if you look online...
Don't shank someone who pulls you out of a burning plane.
When you Google, you can actually see like the script layout for this film, which is what I had to refer to get the names and things. It does say that the German soldier is doing this out of fright.
Still a bastard.
Okay, well, send us your view. This is where we're going to argue quite a lot, because as gutted as I am, I absolutely sobbed. At the end of it, it's like, I can't be that angry at the German soldier. I can't be that angry with him.
Yeah, I could. Bastard. I'm just going to keep saying it. He's still a bastard.
Anyways.
Write in with your view and just say either it's okay because he's scared or bastard. That's it. We'll do a poll. We'll do a poll.
Vice versa. If Blake was in a plane and he crash landed and two German soldiers pulled them out and one of them was like, no, no, save him. I'm going to go get water. And then Blake stabbed someone else.
Bastard.
See? Exactly. But I'm just saying.
What do you mean, see, exactly?
I'm just saying, you can't.
I'm not changing my point of view.
I know, it was the wrong thing to say. I'm just putting it out there, when you're in the middle of a fucking war, you're going to do stuff that you're going to regret.
You're getting feisty now.
Just
up. Let's have a little break so you can calm down. Maybe get on the wine.
I can't drink them on call.
Right, let's move on.
So Blake dies. Spoiler.
Blake dies very slowly.
Oh, it's fucking horrible. And he's
you
like,
see all
right
the colour drain from
horrible.
His face and everything.
And he's
don't
only
you?
Little. He's a little boy. And he's like, right home and tell my mum I wasn't scared.
I know. Part of me kind of wants to just go, you fucking were, you liar. But then you're like, oh.
You can't say
yeah.
that.
Well, no, you can't. I always found it weird because he asked Schofield, doesn't he? He's like, am I dying?
Oh.
And Schofield's like, yes. Yes, you are. Like, all right, lie to him.
I
make it a bit
lie.
Easier.
I
but
know.
He's no full stiff upper lip as well. And he's Schofield. He's like,
yeah.
Yes, I believe you are.
So, I mean, being a mum of two boys, this was fucking awful to watch. And I think at this point I was really crying. I said to you, seriously, what the actual fuck?
I bet that's in your notes
it is,
as well.
Literally. Why am I being made to watch this? I get the whole point of this podcast, but at this precise moment in time, I actually was wondering why I was doing it to myself. Because I was like, what are you doing, Andrew? He's like putting yourself through this. Seriously. So anyways.
Moving on.
He tries to pick him up to get him to move, but he won't anyway. So he passes away and he tries to move him to a place that's a little bit nicer. And suddenly, out of fucking nowhere, two medics turn up. Sorry, it's going to be quite a sweary podcast now because I actually so despise this kind of genre that it just makes me angry.
You're actually stressed just talking about it.
I
it's brilliant.
Feel I'm generally traumatised.
They're not medics.
They had an M on them.
One of them, they're not specifically medics, are they? It's just another group of soldiers, isn't it?
I thought they might have been medics.
There's bound to be a medic.
But they would have been
there.
In like a regiment, but yeah. They had like M on them, which I thought signified that they were like medical.
I might miss that then.
Well, I don't know. I think I was still traumatised.
More soldiers arrive, more good guys.
Yeah.
Possibly a medic.
And then you meet Captain Smith, who is Mark Strong.
Oh, Mark Strong, my favourite.
Love him too.
Literally, I could watch the clip of him from the Kingsman sequel over and over again, the bit where he dies in that.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? Have you seen the second one?
Yeah. No, I haven't. Oh, yeah, I might have done, yeah. I can't remember now.
Eggsy steps on the mine, and then he takes his place, and he sings Country Roads, but
yeah.
in his Scottish accent that he's got in that film. And it's brilliant. I just watch it all the time.
but he turns up. He's got, and again, he's quite a stiff upper lip, proper gentleman. He's like, it does you good not to dwell on it.
Yes.
Just, you know.
Oh, was he your friend?
Yeah.
He was, and it does no good to dwell on it.
It's just, yeah. So he's got a truck, and they're like in this regiment's heading off, which I think is to be part of that regiment that's going to end up in the middle of the trap. That's where they're headed.
They're
to.
Headed the same direction.
Yeah.
No, they're due to go through. So he's got to get to a town, hasn't he? And then go from the town, follow another bit to where the attack is.
Yeah.
And they're due to pass the town.
Right.
Which is more than halfway of the way he's got to go.
So he gets basically to give him a bit of rest. He gets them into, the truck. You meet some more soldiers. And again, it's like kind of thing about that one shot thing that they've got lots of like random chatting between the soldiers.
Yeah,
and
just having a pointless conversation in the back of this van. And you think in any other film, you'd see him get in the van, you'd see him get out the van.
Yeah.
But because this is the one continuous shot, we sit in the van with him.
Yeah. And
while
he's
they
like,
chat
obviously
utter bollocks.
I mean, he just lost his friend, so he's really quiet. And then the van gets stuck in some mud and he gets out and his urgency of like trying to push it and move it. There's a couple of soldiers that won't help. Others do. And then eventually
he basically drives everyone into helping, doesn't he? Because he's so desperate to get going.
And it's then they ask him, like, what's happened? And he says, you know, about his mission. And eventually they stop again, and it's his time to get out, and they wish him luck. And they stop at a canal. And this is when Captain Smith stops and says to him, when you speak to Mackenzie, make sure there's witnesses, as some men just want a fight. And you're like, who the fuck is this Mackenzie?
Because he sounds like a dick.
Dick.
Yeah. Basically saying, like, he's only doing this because he wants the glory.
And you think, I don't think I want to meet this Mackenzie. I don't think I do.
Sounds like a twat, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Basically, just from that one line, sounds like a massive twat. So he even says, doesn't he, like, these are direct orders that he has to follow. And Mark Strong's like, I'm just telling ya.
Make sure you got witnesses.
This could be harder than you think.
Oh dear. So, so off the van goes, and that's the end of like Mark Strong's bit.
I know. Never enough Mark Strong.
No.
You can never get too much Mark Strong.
He's like,
yeah. And who's that other one from Jason Isaacs?
Yeah.
I need to make a film that's just them two.
That'd be amazing.
Probably wouldn't have to do much.
No, just be themselves. It'd be like Ryan Reynolds, just Ryan Reynolds in his way.
Ryan Reynolds in his way through life. Ryan Reynolds and Paul Rudd, that'd be another good film as well.
Oh, days.
We're like, what characters are they playing? Does it matter?
they're just being them.
They just do what they want.
Just being them. So Schofield's on his own now, isn't he? Looking over this canal where he's got to go into. Is this the city or the town that he was told he had to go through?
Yeah, this is the town. He's made it to the town. He's got off the trucks. They've pulled away. He's got across a bit of water.
Yeah. Is it a canal?
Is it an actual bridge, or is it just
I think it's a collapsed bridge,
yeah.
So he's like tottering down it, which is like quite scary. And then, of course, there's someone shooting at him.
Takes a pot shot at him, don't they?
Yeah.
Weirdly, so this is we're almost halfway through the film, aren't we? And so Schofield shot the German soldier.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's being shot at. So it's a war. This is why I said it's not the type of war film you think. It's only the second time someone shot their gun.
Yeah.
In the whole film.
So this shot's coming from the lockhouse. And this is obviously a sniper, isn't it?
Yeah.
Up in the lockhouse. So he's shooting back. And then the shooting stops. You're like, he's like nailed him. He shot him. So Schofield goes into the lockhouse, up the stairs, super duper tense. Kicks the door open. There's a German soldier sat on the floor. He looks up, obviously he's been like shot, and takes a shot at Schofield while Schofield shoots him, and it basically hits Schofield's helmet. And you see it just goes black, doesn't it? And you're like, oh my God, he's been shot in the head.
Yeah. Whole screen goes black for the first time. In the whole film.
So I was like, oh, dearie me. Then you hear, I couldn't work out if it was ticking or dripping.
I think it's dripping.
But it's dripping, and it basically starts like his eyes are opening, and the screen comes back again, and he's laying on the floor, and he has got a head injury, so I think that's where he's fallen, because basically the intensity of the bullets like knocked him back, isn't it?
Floored him and smacked his head. So technically the film is not one continuous shot. It's two.
No, it's two.
And we have a break for him being unconscious.
It's just amazing. So he obviously gets up.
It's night time now. He's been out for a while.
And he's running through this town, and he meets another German soldier. He's walking slowly towards, because it's all on fire, isn't it?
So as he wakes up, there's flares or searchlights or something?
Something
I think it's flares, because it goes up, then there's lights up the sky, and then it goes dark again. Mm. And as he makes his way through the town, there's a massive building on fire.
Yeah.
And down in the bottom of the corner of the screen, you just see another soldier.
Yeah.
Coming out, don't you? And
he hasn't got a helmet on, so you don't know if he's friend or foe, I suppose you could say.
A little standoff, isn't there?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he's running at Schofield, shooting at him.
Schofield runs away, and he slides down through, I think it's a coal shaft.
Terrible aim, though. Like, one of the shots, he's about 4 foot away from him and misses.
Yeah.
And then while he's chasing him, the German soldier, he falls over, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Soldier? Soldier.
Mm.
Can't talk either.
No, it's too late, isn't it?
La, 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 la. Yeah, he falls over, and that's when he slips through.
Through the coal cellar.
Yeah.
And
Covered up by a little wooden crate, isn't it? Yeah.
And he meets a French lady.
Finds a French lady living down there.
She's quite young, isn't she?
Yeah.
And he's like, no, British soldier, British. So they have like a little bit of it's not like a romantic moment, but she like tends to his head injury, and he sees that she's rescued a baby She doesn't know who the mum is.
Yeah, she's got a baby and she says, oh, he asks the baby's name, doesn't he? She's like, I don't know. And oh, are you the baby's mother? Who's the baby's mother? I don't know.
And so he gives her all the food he's got in his pack and she said, baby can't eat this, needs milk. And he, of course, back at the barn, he'd filled up his water thing with the milk from the thing.
Yeah. So he hands over his milk to
the lady. I mean, you know, that's, they're going to die. Because that milk's not going to sustain that baby. You know, it's really sad. But he's really invested in this little baby. Like, he's singing to her and he's, like, cooing over this baby. It's a really sweet moment. I mean, by this point, I was just like, I kind of just want to get through the film now. And that bit, I didn't get bored of it. I just wanted it to be over because I couldn't cope with the nicety of it.
Slowed it down, didn't it? You're like,
mate, you have got a mission to get there by dawn. It's dark now.
Don't calm me down. If I've got to get through this tension, just power through.
So he then hears the bells and he counts them. I think I counted seven. I'm not sure, but it doesn't matter. He basically knows he needs to go and she's begging him not to go. They're going to see you. Don't leave. But he goes. And then as he's walking through or kind of like running through, he sees a drunk private who's a German.
Yeah.
Staggering around. So he goes into the building and he comes face to face with like an even younger soldier. He's like a teenager and he grabs him, covers his mouth and is like, shh, 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 shh. And then he stupidly takes his hand away from his mouth and obviously the soldier, who looks terrified, screams, like, for help. So he throws, they have, like, a scuffle on the floor and he just basically, like, strangles that German soldier to death. So I was like, what? You said there's only been, like, four deaths by this point, if that?
Yeah, so we've seen, haven't we? We've seen Blake die.
Yeah. The German sniper.
The German sniper, and now this soldier. This is the third person we've seen die in a war film.
I hate the slow deaths. They are the worst. I was like, man, just... Oh, I just hate watching it.
You had flashbacks to Saving Private Ryan, didn't you?
I actually could cry just thinking about them.
When the guy at the end gets slowly stabbed.
I think I just screamed at you, turn this fucking thing off now. I'll just fast forward a second. I couldn't. I just can't stand it. I just hate it. Just fucking hate it. Because this is the thing with my issue with war films, is this probably happened in real life.
Yeah.
Like, this is how people, how men died.
Yeah.
And I just think, I can't... At least if you watch something that's, like, fake, you go, like, some, like, shite action film, you just go, yeah, cool, you know.
Oh, in full Essex there. Of course
someone's going to survive that.
Of course.
I'll usually put Die Hard out there. Like, you could vaguely survive that, you know? Like, but, oh, God.
John McClane goes for all that, and this soldier can't even handle being strangled.
Don't! I can't. That poor kid. Anyways, so he kills the kid. The drunk one's like, oh, shit.
This is the bit I like, because he has a fight with the sober one and strangles him. The drunk one, who's clearly older, what he does is he knocks him over. Like, there's not a fight, there's not anything. He's pissed. He just shoulder barges him to the ground and then just buggers off. It's like, hold on, couldn't you just, like, whack the other one and run off? But was a full-on fight and a murder. Well, not a murder, it's war. It's not murder, is it?
No, I don't know.
But he strangles him, and then the other guy's just like, boop, over you go.
Shim over. Bye-bye. So, anyways, he runs through this town and ends up jumping with that German, quite a few Germans shooting at him, isn't there?
Yeah, he's getting chased.
And he just like, that shot of him jumping into the canal was amazing.
Yeah.
That was another really, I quite enjoyed that. I mean, I can only say I enjoyed it now on reflection, because honestly, at the time, I think I was about ready to say, I don't know if I can do this anymore.
It was nearly the end of the podcast.
So you watch him, like, tumbling around in the water, and it's like, he's hitting jagged rocks. And I was just... like, oh, rock! Oh, fuck the rock! Oh, the rock! Not Dwayne Johnson.
That would have been a different
film.
That
would have been a different film, because you imagine this little light, he hits a rock and he turns around going, hey.
It's funny you bring up Dwayne Johnson. Have you seen his whole family have tested positive for COVID?
No.
Him, his wife and his daughters.
Oh.
Yeah, they're all doing okay from the scene bit, but now there's a joke circulating. So The Rock and his family have all tested positive for COVID-19, and apparently the thing that made them get tested when they first noticed they had symptoms is because none of them could smell what he was cooking.
Ow! Jesus! I should have seen that coming, but I didn't. That was a gem. Can you smell what The Rock is cooking?
No, I can't.
COVID.
It's COVID.
Oh, gosh. Well, you've thrown me right off now. My tenth bit. Anyways, he hits all these not Dwayne Johnson rocks.
Oh, I should have saved that for the end. It's ruined it all. I can't concentrate.
Anyways, yeah, he ends up going down this massive waterfall. He goes under the water. He emerges. He's fine, but I mean, he's basically on like the edge of unconsciousness, isn't he?
Yeah, he's kinds of
hanging on to a log.
Up.
I mean, Christ! I mean, the man got buried under rubble. He's got his hand inside a body. He's been smacked on the head, like where he fell backwards, and he's just all sorts of problems. So, like, you see him slip under the water. He comes up again, and he's hanging on to this rock, and all of a sudden, blossom leaves, little blossom petals even, like little blossom petals appear. You're like, oh, that's like a little link back there to Blake.
Yeah.
And they end up in this place that's like really luscious and beautiful and hasn't been touched by war at all. And I'm like, oh God, where's he ended up?
He missed a bit where he washes up though,
getting there. So he like washes up because he can start to hear something. And as he like pulls himself out of the water, he's basically pouring his way through all these corpses.
All like swollen and bloated from the water. It's grim.
Again, like they look grim, but it's not like bloody or they don't look horrendous. Like if you, imagine from real life, it would look a lot worse. But I mean, yeah, it's again about mixing with the blossoms.
It's just the bit that's disgusting is how like bloated they are from the water, isn't it? They're not like bits flaking off, it's still really decomposed.
They
just
look quite
bloated.
Peaceful, yeah. So you can basically, you hear the sound of singing, but like it's beautiful, this area, isn't it?
It doesn't look like any battle at all.
It's really peaceful looking. So you hear the singing and he walks into the clearing and he sees, I don't know, like what, 200 men?
Yeah.
All sat on the floor and one's in the middle singing. Oh my God, it's so beautiful.
And again, another really well shot again because he leans against a tree, doesn't he?
Yeah, and rests his head.
Has a sit down, rests his eyes, and the singing's sort of quiet and the camera moves around looking at people and moves up towards the singer.
I was
looking
for Blake's brother because he said he looks like me but older. So I was like, where is he? Where is he? Where is he?
We move up to the singer, don't we? And his voice gets louder as we get closer, and then it stays at the same volume as the camera turns and goes a different way back to Schofield and finds him. And then the singing stops and all the men get up and they suddenly spot him like, you all right, mate?
Yeah, and he's like, he can't really speak because he's obviously exhausted. And he says to them, he said, oh, wait, let's just pick him up and take him with us. And he goes, I need to find the Devons.
Yeah, the name of the regiment, yeah.
And he said, oh, we're the Devons, but we're D Company. So we're the second wave
to go over.
And he's like, oh, you're like, so close, yet so far.
Yeah. He's like, yes, I found...
Oh, shit.
Bugger, wrong ones.
Wave, like, has one not gone over already? So he's like, I need to get to Colonel McKenzie. So this bit is rapid as, isn't it?
Yeah.
Rapid. So they said, oh, we need to run through this trench because we've been digging all night. So they've been digging these trenches and they are, I mean, in comparison to ones at the beginning, these are not that deep, are they?
No.
There's explosions. There's, like, men everywhere.
Yeah,
there's,
the artillery's
like,
coming in.
Through.
Pushing through people.
He gets to one bit, and you see this. So when I looked it up, his name's Captain Ivins, and he's blubbering and he's shaking like he is terrified. And he's going, I need to find McKenzie.
Shell-shocked as well, wouldn't he?
Yeah. And he's like, he can't even answer, so he just keeps running. And then at a precise moment in time, he's like obliterated. in that area, he's standing by a shell, and you're like,
yeah, he literally literally moves away from him, doesn't he?
And then, like,
he's about
a whole lot
10 foot away, shell hits, pretty much hits that captain in the face, doesn't
it?
Oh my
God.
But again, no gore,
no
blood,
see just bits or bodies or nothing.
Just the explosion. And he keeps going.
Yeah, and you might see people fall over, but he's trying to push past, and it's just chaos. And he gets to another person who is apparently called Lieutenant Richards, and he's like, I need to find Colonel McKenzie. He's like, 300 yards down that way. And you're like, mate, I mean, this is like chock-a-block, and there's explosions and people falling and men screaming. And so he looks at this lieutenant, and he just then looks up at the trench, and he puts his foot up, and the man's like, no, you are nuts,
you can't go that way.
And he just does.
My favorite thing is though, he's like, if you go that way you're gonna die, you're not gonna make it the 300 yards. And then like 5 seconds later, he's like,
doo doo
on his whistle, right, over you go, lads, you'll be fine,
big push,
we're gonna be, you've just told that guy he won't make it 300 yards horizontally. And you want us to run at these guns? Like, what?
Oh, my God. I mean, oh, my God. So he's running.
He's over the trench, and he's running along the field.
There's the big push, and these all men going over the top, and there's, like, big explosions. And again, you don't see any body parts, just men falling over on the floor.
Yeah.
Don't you? It's just big bangs.
But for some reason, it still works just as well. You don't need to see him getting exploded.
It's just amazing. It's really beautifully shot. So he finally gets down, and he slides down, and he's like, I have to see Colonel McKenzie. And he's basically getting stopped by these great big lads, aren't they?
Yeah.
I'm like, let him through, Christ. He's just run across.
You don't know what he's going through to get here. Just get out of the pissing way.
Get out of the way.
He's got a letter.
So he finally gets in, and he says he's got this letter, and we finally find out who Colonel McKenzie is. It's Cumberbatch.
Benedict Cumberbatch. Or as I refer to him in this scene, being a dick Cumberbatch.
Oh my God, he is a bell.
He is a twat, isn't he?
Total bell. So he doesn't want to take the letter. He doesn't want to do it.
He's like, we're already in the fight. Like,
yeah,
you're too late.
It's too fucking late. I'm not doing it. I won't do it. And he's got a major there, Major Hepburn, who's Adrian Scarborough.
Yeah, never heard of him.
Him in a few things, but he's pretty cool. And he's like, I think he tries to convince him to read the letter, and he does. And it's like a really dramatic pause, isn't there? And he's like, stand down. I'm like, thank God.
Phew.
Thank God. And then he says, hope is a dangerous thing. Because he says basically, like, within days, he could be sent back over again.
Yeah, he complains, doesn't he? He's like, we get these orders now. Tomorrow, we'll be told the attack at dawn.
And then I suddenly go, actually, do you know what? I can imagine being in his position. I just love how all the characters, I personally, obviously, never have been there or known anyone in these ranks. But in that time, how exhausted he is by the whole thing. That's fine, great, I'll stop it now. But I know within a day, he'll send another messenger to say, over you go.
Yeah.
So is Mark Strong's character right? Is he actually spoiling for a fight, or is he just thinking,
we've got to get after him at some point. Why not
now? Just to get this done.
Yeah. He's just as fatigued as everyone else, but for different reasons.
Because he says the only way this is going to end is with the last man standing.
Yeah.
And he tells him to fuck off.
It was, he said, I can't remember exactly what he's saying. It's going to end last man standing. And does he say go and get something to eat, or go
to
the...
No, he just turns around and goes, just fuck off or something. Yeah.
Now fuck off, Corporal.
Yeah, it's so funny. So as he's leaving, this Major Hepburn stops him and says, well done, son. And at that point, I was a little bit like, I've got a bit of mosh again. And he said that's when he asked that he needed to try and find this Blake.
Yes, needs to find the brother. He asks where he'd be, and he says,
In the casualty clearing.
Well, he says, knowing him, he would be with his men, and he was in the first wave.
Oh, yeah.
So, look in the casualty area, and if he's not there, he's he's probably dead, basically.
That's awful. So, this bit, you get to, and they're bringing men in on stretchers, and he's like, one of the guys is treating as if you can walk or speak, you need to get over to triage.
Yeah, pretty much he walks out and he's like, if you're still standing, you don't need to be here. You need to go over that side. This is for people who are really fucked up, basically.
But like, he's walking through and he's shouting, Blake, Blake. And, there's like, again, like even then in real life, it would have been horrendous. But as you walk through, there's not actually an awful lot of gore or like people with lots of arms missing. It's,
I don't know, there is a few, there's like open wounds.
But it's not like Saving Private Ryan, yeah, where you've got a guy standing with his guts hanging out, you know? No. Like, it is really,
there's
it's quite
no,
tame.
Like, sprays of blood. Everywhere's not bathed in blood. You see missing limbs and wounds, like severe wounds, but I get what you mean. They're not like, it's not like graphic. They're not put there to shock you. They're just, that's what they would look like.
In some respects, that's not even like the whole point of the film. It's not about seeing that stuff.
No.
And I think it was enough being me who being me and not liking war films, seeing them laying there screaming. Like, that was impactive enough for me without having to then think about everything else.
I think as well, like, because it's not like Saving Private Ryan. Saving Private Ryan, especially in that bit at the beginning when you see the bloke holding his arm, it's not about the fact that it's his arm's off. It's about the fact he's picked it up and he's walking around with it.
He doesn't know what on earth to do.
Because he doesn't know what to do. Yeah, it's about, and like the guy with his guts hanging out and things like that. It's about them looking at other people in that situation and thinking, fuck, like we've got to carry on. This film isn't about that.
No.
And in a way, it's just, it wouldn't suit this film to go that way. It suits everything they did, suits the style of the film and the story they're telling. They haven't gone overboard, but they haven't toned it down. It's all fits together perfectly.
So anyways, he's running around and then he finally finds Lieutenant Joseph Blake. He's alive.
Bringing in wounded, isn't he?
Yeah. Men. And he goes up to him and obviously tells him the awful news about his brother, and that it was quick, which...
It wasn't.
It wasn't. It was horrendous. He doesn't need to know that. And then he asks if he can write to his mother, because that's what he requested, and he thought it was fine. And then that's kind of it. Like, they have a little handshake, and it was like proper stiff upper lip, like, okay, well, thanks, Charles.
Holding back tears, wasn't he? And he gives him his ring. And his dog tag. Stiff handshake.
And then that was it. And he says, oh, go help yourself to food and get your wounds seen to. But he doesn't. He walks off to an oak tree. And he sits down with back against it. And he pulls out. I said, that's not an iPhone, is it? Because it was just white, wasn't it?
It's not an iPhone. What, has he got a Samsung? No, 1917. No, it's a photograph.
It's photographs of his daughters and his wife.
We think.
No, I read it on the script. It is.
Oh, is it?
It's his daughters and his wife.
The second one of the woman on her own just
says. And on
says,
the back it says, come back to us.
Come back to us, yeah.
So I like that they don't. That's why he was like, but you don't know that, do you?
Yeah, I like that they don't know that. You see, he's got family to go home to. You don't know who they are, but you don't need to.
No, and that's, again, like I thought, that makes so much sense with that little baby girl. Why he was like, you know, that it all links him with like the girl and the, or the woman and the child.
Yeah.
So anyways, he sits back and he lays his head and he shuts his eyes and basically you're back to the beginning.
Yeah. And he's asleep against
really
the tree.
In a peaceful area that's not war torn. And he's just like, I've done it. And I was like, part of me just kind of hoped he just fell asleep, but he didn't die and he got to go home to his girls. But that's it. Yeah.
Didn't
that's
think
how it
of
is.
That. Didn't think that he might have just died there.
Oh, I hope not. But yeah. And that was the end of it. And it was exactly what I was expecting it was going to be. And I think even reliving that, I feel like I've just traumatised myself all over again.
You have been quite agitated.
I just don't like it. It's just really triggering. Like, the whole thing was just really difficult.
But do you see why it's a film that's good to watch? Again, it's a war film. I know you don't like them, but it's not a World War II film like so many are.
No.
It's a World War I film, which is different in itself. And the way it's made.
Like, all this stuff about how upsetting I found it and it's traumatised me. But that aside, that it is actually beautifully shot. It's a beautiful film.
Even the grim bits that look.
Yeah.
The way they've done
Which
it
is why it can't
beautiful.
Be gory. Because it has to fit this kind of it is gentle in a way, isn't it? Even like the jaggedy bits doesn't look.
Apparently when to make it, they shot like 20 seconds at a time. So they would do a 20-second take and then move on to the next one. And you think, if they're doing that, you think back to the bit of the trench.
Mm.
There's so many people.
Yeah.
That even doing 20 seconds must have been so much work to get right. Can you imagine if you were the one who fucked up a 20-second take and they had to do it again?
Nigel, mate, stop picking your nose.
Yeah, that was brilliant. We made 18 seconds of that one, and then Timmy over there scratched farted. And now we've got to do it all over again.
But yeah, that, so yeah, just the visuals and the music was just stunning. So that aside, it really is a beautiful film, and maybe it is one to watch even if you're not too big on them. Just, oh, for God's sake, just make sure you're prepared.
Bring tissues.
Yeah, it is beautiful. So yeah, I am begrudgingly going to say I'm happy I've seen it. I'm also happy I'm never going to have to watch it again.
So far we're 3 for 3 on films you'll never watch again. We're doing
actually,
well.
Actually, this is scoring higher than the other two.
Oh, how many stars is it going to get?
4.
4 stars. That's our highest one. At the moment, that's your recommended film to everyone who listens. Your highest recommendation is for a war film.
I know.
Who'd have thought it?
Only because of how to enjoy the cinematic experience. But I am generally just be prepared. That's all I'm going
to
say.
See, I saw it at the cinema and I didn't think it would be as good to watch at home, but it really is.
Yeah.
It still is it's amazing to watch. And there you got, so 4 stars.
4 stars. And my chosen review word is phenomenal.
Wow.
Because I felt like that kind of encompassed everything.
Phenomenal highs and phenomenal lows and phenomenal rage.
Trauma. Oh my God, yeah. So yeah, just gave me all the feels. So yeah, that's it.
Wow. I'm actually in shock at the 4 stars.
Join a club. What are you making me watch next then?
So as you had to suffer a war, as we've done, basically made your brain explode with Inception.
And not in a good way.
And then we went to a horror film that you didn't, even though you're not that bothered by horror films, it was one you really never wanted to see.
No.
And then we went war film, so I thought I'd give you a bit of a break next time and do a comedy film.
Ooh.
The only problem with doing comedy films is you've seen most of the comedy films that I would pick. Like, you think, oh, it's a podcast with a woman watching films she'd never seen before and they're going to do comedy films. Pick Monty Python. Women don't like Monty Python. You've seen Monty Python more than I have.
I love Monty Python.
And yeah, so it's quite tough to pick a comedy film. So we can go back to, I don't know if it's the '80s or the '90s, but we're going to watch The Naked Gun with Leslie Nielsen.
Ooh. I've never seen that before.
Well, no, that's kind of the point.
Oh yeah. Sorry, team. I've had a very, very long couple of days at work. I kind of forgot why I was here.
You forgot we were even recording. You're just like, oh, hang on, I've never seen that.
I thought I was having a chat with you, Colin. I didn't realise we were recording this. Everyone to hear my stupidity.
So, yeah, we're going with The Naked Gun.
Awesome.
And then it needs to be a comedy film either, because I've already planned the one after, and that's allegedly one of the scariest horror films ever made.
Fuck's sake. Okay, well, guys, if you want to watch along with me and watch Naked Gun so you can enjoy my review of it, then you've got 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And this one's going to be released soon. I'm sure you've been excitedly anticipating this.
I'm sure you've all been on tender hooks. Probably not been able to sleep while we've been away.
And yeah, so yeah. That's it, really, isn't
it? If you do have any opinions on the German being a bastard or justified by being frightened, then do email in to
HayleyWatchesPodcast2020. Oh, no, it's just HayleyWatches2020@gmail.com.
You sure? Do you want to say it again just to make sure?
I haven't written it down. I think it's on our Instagram page, which is Hayley_watches. I'm pretty sure I've got it on there.
Try an email
it's
in anyway.
HayleyWatches2020@gmail.com, I'm pretty sure. Sorry, team. Honestly, I am exhausted.
Yeah, just let us know, bastard or not bastard, really. And
that is the question.
We can reveal the poll next time.
But yeah, so until next time, everyone, stay safe.
Ciao for now.
Ciao for now.
Bye.
Bye.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.